Chapter 65. Alone in a heartless world, silently and abstractedly, did that too sensitive youth follow his revered parents and a train of smock frocks and wheelbarrows along the pier until the bustle of the scene around recalled him to himself. The sun was shining brightly. The sea, dancing to its own music, rolled merrily in. Crowds of people promenaded to and fro. Young ladies tittered. Old ladies talked. Nursemaids displayed their charms to the greatest possible advantage, and their little charges ran up and down, and to and fro, and in and out, under the feet, and between the legs, of the assembled concourse, in the most playful and exhilarating manner. There were old gentlemen, trying to make out objects through long telescopes, and young ones, making objects of themselves in open shirt collars, ladies, carrying about portable chairs, and portable chairs carrying about invalids, parties, waiting on the pier for parties who had come by the steamboat, and nothing was to be heard but talking, laughing, welcoming, and merriment. "Fly, sir?" exclaimed a chorus of 14 men and 6 boys, the moment Mr. Joseph Tuggs, at the head of his little party, set foot in the street. "Here's the gentleman at last." Said one, touching his hat with mock politeness. "Wery glad to see you, sir. Been a waitin' for you these 6 weeks. Jump in, if you please, sir." "Nice light fly and a fast trotter, sir," said another. 14 mile a hour, and surrounding objects rendered invisible by extreme velocity. "Large fly for your luggage, sir," cried a third. "Wery large fly here, sir, eglar blue bottle." "Here's your fly, sir." Shouted another aspiring charioteer, mounting the box, and inducing an old gray horse, to indulge in some imperfect reminiscences of a canter. "Look at him, sir. Temper of a lamb and action of a steam engine." Resisting even the temptation of securing the services of so valuable a quadruped as the last named, Mr. Joseph Tuggs beckoned to the proprietor of a dingy conveyance of a greenish hue, lined with faded striped calico, and, the luggage and the family having been deposited there, the animal in the shafts, after describing circles in the road for a quarter of an hour, at last consented to depart in quest of lodgings. "How many beds have you got?" Screamed Mrs. Tuggs out of the fly, to the woman who opened the door of the first house which displayed a bill intimating that apartments were to be let within. "How many did you want, ma'am?" Was, of course, the reply. "3. Will you step in, ma'am?" Down got Mrs. Tuggs. The family were delighted. Splendid view of the sea from the front windows, charming. A short pause. Back came Mrs. Tuggs again. "One parlor and a mattress. Why the devil didn't they say so at first?" Inquired Mr. Joseph Tuggs, rather pettishly. "Don't know," said Mrs. Tuggs. "Wretches!" exclaimed the nervous Simon. "Another bill, another stoppage. Same question, same answer, similar result. What do they mean by this?" Inquired Mr. Joseph Tuggs, thoroughly out of temper. "Don't know," said the placid Mrs. Tuggs. "Orvis the way here, sir," said the driver, by way of accounting for the circumstance in a satisfactory manner, and off they went again, to make fresh inquiries, and encounter fresh disappointments. It had grown dusk, when the fly, the rate of whose progress greatly belied its name, after climbing up 4 or 5 perpendicular hills, stopped before the door of a moldy house, with a bay window, from which you could obtain a beautiful glimpse of the sea, if you thrust half of your body out of it, at the imminent peril of falling into the area. Mrs. Tuggs alighted. 1 ground floor sitting room, and 3 cells with beds, in them upstairs. A double house. Family on the opposite side. five children milk and watering in the parlor, and one little boy, expelled for bad behavior, screaming on his back in the passage. What's the terms? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mrs. Tuggs. The mistress of the house was considering the expediency of putting on an extra guinea, so she coughed slightly and affected not to hear the question. What's the terms? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mrs. Tuggs in a louder key. 5 guineas a week, ma'am, with attendance, apostrophe replied the lodging housekeeper. Attendance means the privilege of ringing the bell as often as you like, for your own amusement. Rather dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Tuggs. Oh dear, no, ma'am. Apostrophe replied the mistress of the house, with a benign smile of pity at the ignorance of manners and customs, which the observation betrayed. Very cheap. Apostrophe apostrophe, such an authority was indisputable. Mrs. Tuggs paid a week's rent in advance, and took the lodgings for a month. In an hour's time, the family were seated at tea in their new abode. Capital shrimps. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Joseph Tuggs. Mr. Simon eyed his father with a rebellious scowl, as he emphatically said shrimps. Apostrophe, well then, shrimps, apostrophe said Mr. Joseph Tuggs. Shrimps are shrimps, don't much matter. Apostrophe, there was pity, blended with malignity, in Mr. Simon's eye, as he replied, don't matter, father. What would Captain Waters say, if he heard such vulgarity? Apostrophe apostrophe, or what would dear Mrs. Captain Waters say, apostrophe added Charlotta, if she saw Mother Ma, I mean eating them whole, heads and all. Apostrophe apostrophe, it won't bear thinking of. Apostrophe apostrophe ejaculated Mr. Simon, with a shudder. How different, apostrophe he thought, apostrophe from the Dowager Duchess of Dobbleton. Apostrophe apostrophe, very pretty woman, Mrs. Captain Waters, is she not, Simon? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Miss Charlotta. A glow of nervous excitement passed over the countenance of Mr. Simon Tuggs, as he replied, an angel of beauty. Apostrophe apostrophe, hello. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Joseph Tuggs. Hello, Simon, my boy, take care. Married lady, you know, apostrophe and he winked one of his twinkling eyes knowingly. Why, apostrophe exclaimed Simon, starting up with an ebullition of fury, as unexpected as alarming, why am I to be reminded of that blight of my happiness, and ruin of my hopes? Why am I to be taunted with the miseries which are heaped upon my head? Is it not enough to apostrophe, and the orator paused. But whether for want of words, or lack of breath, was never distinctly ascertained. There was an impressive solemnity in the tone of this address, and in the air with which the romantic Simon, at its conclusion, rang the bell, and demanded a flat candlestick, which effectually forbade a reply. He stalked dramatically to bed, and the Tuckses went to bed too, half an hour afterwards, in a state of considerable mystification and perplexity. If the pier had presented a scene of life and bustle to the Tuckses on their first landing at Ramsgate, it was far surpassed by the appearance of the sands on the morning after their arrival. It was a fine, bright, clear day, with a light breeze from the sea. There were the same ladies and gentlemen, the same children, the same nursemaids, the same telescopes, the same portable chairs. The ladies were employed in needlework, or watchguard making, or knitting, or reading novels. The gentlemen were reading newspapers and magazines. The children were digging holes in the sand with wooden spades, and collecting water there. The nursemaids, with their youngest charges in their arms, were running in after the waves, and then running back with the waves after them, and, now and then, a little sailing boat either departed with a gay and talkative cargo of passengers, or returned with a very silent, and particularly uncomfortable-looking one. Well, I never. ! Exclaimed Mrs. Tuggs, as she and Mr. Joseph Tuggs, and Miss Charlotta Tuggs, and Mr. Simon Tuggs, with their 8 feet in a corresponding number of yellow shoes, seated themselves on four rush-bottom chairs, which, being placed in a soft part of the sand, forthwith sunk down some 2 feet and a half. Well, I never! ! Mr. Simon, by an exertion of great personal strength, uprooted the chairs, and removed them further back. Why, I'm blessed if there ain't some ladies a-going in! ! Exclaimed Mr. Joseph Tuggs, with intense astonishment. Lor, Pa! ! Exclaimed Miss Charlotta. There is, my dear, ! Said Mr. Joseph Tuggs. And, sure enough, four young ladies, each furnished with a towel, tripped up the steps of a bathing machine. In went the horse, floundering about in the water, round turned the machine, down sat the driver, and presently outburst the young ladies aforesaid, with four distinct splashes. Well, that's singular too! ! Ejaculated Mr. Joseph Tuggs, after an awkward pause. Mr. Simon coughed slightly. Why, here's some gentleman a-going in on this side! ! Exclaimed Mrs. Tuggs, in a tone of horror. Three machines, three horses, three flounderings, three turnings round, three splashes, three gentlemen, disporting themselves in the water like so many dolphins. Well, that's singular! ! Said Mr. Joseph Tuggs again. Miss Charlotta coughed this time, and another pause ensued. It was agreeably broken. How do you do, dear? We have been looking for you, all the morning, ! Said a voice to Miss Charlotta Tuggs. Mrs. Captain Waters was the owner of it. How do you do? ! Said Captain Walter Waters, all suavity, and a most cordial interchange of greetings ensued. Belinda, my love, ! Said Captain Walter Waters, applying his glass to his eye, and looking in the direction of the sea. Yes, my dear, ! Replied Mrs. Captain Waters. There's Harry Thompson. ! Where? ! Said Belinda, applying her glass to her eye. Bathing. ! So it is. He don't see us, does he? ! No, I don't think he dozes, replied the captain. Bless my soul, how very singular! ! What? ! Inquired Belinda. There's Mary Golding too. ! Where?
Up went the glass again.
There! ! Said the captain, pointing to one of the young ladies before noticed, who, in her bathing costume, looked as if she was enveloped in a patent Macintosh, of scanty dimensions. So it is, I declare! ! Exclaimed Mrs. Captain Waters. How very curious we should see them both! ! Said the captain, with perfect coolness. It's the reglar thing here, you see, ! Whispered Mr. Simon Tuggs to his father. I see it is, ! Whispered Mr. Joseph Tuggs in reply. Queer, though, ain't it? ! Mr. Simon Tuggs nodded assent. What do you think of doing with yourself this morning? ! Inquired the captain. Shall we lunch at Pegwell? I should like that very much indeed, interposed Mrs. Tuggs. She had never heard of Pegwell, but the word lunch had reached her ears, and it sounded very agreeably. How shall we go? Inquired the captain. It's too warm to walk. Suggested Mr. Joseph Tuggs. Chaise, whispered Mr. Simon. I should think one would be enough, said Mr. Joseph Tuggs aloud, quite unconscious of the meaning of the correction. However, two chaise if you like. I should like a donkey so much, said Belinda. Oh, so should I. Echoed Charlotta Tuggs. Well, we can have a fly, suggested the captain, and you can have a couple of donkeys.
apostrophe, a fresh difficulty arose. Mrs. Captain Waters declared it would be decidedly improper for two ladies to ride alone. The remedy was obvious. Perhaps young Mr. Tuggs would be gallant enough to accompany them. Mr. Simon Tuggs blushed, smiled, looked vacant, and faintly protested that he was no horseman. The objection was at once overruled. A fly was speedily found, and three donkeys which the proprietor declared on his solemn asseveration to be three parts blood and the other corn were engaged in the service. Kim up! Apostrophe, apostrophe, shouted one of the two boys who followed behind, to propel the donkeys, when Belinda Waters and Charlotta Tuggs had been hoisted, and pushed, and pulled, into their respective saddles. Hi, hi, hi! Apostrophe, apostrophe, groaned the other boy behind Mr. Simon Tuggs. Away went the donkey, with the stirrups jingling against the heels of Simon's boots, and Simon's boots nearly scraping the ground. Way, way! Whoa, oh, oh! Apostrophe, cried Mr. Simon Tuggs as well as he could, in the midst of the jolting. Don't make it gallop! Apostrophe, apostrophe, screamed Mrs. Captain Waters, behind. My donkey will go into the public house. Apostrophe, apostrophe, shrieked Miss Tuggs in the rear. Hi, hi, hi! Apostrophe, apostrophe, groaned both the boys together, and on went the donkeys, as if nothing would ever stop them. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.